I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why?
I think that tweet, still, as Mark would say, that thing still stands up like an old story. You know what I'm saying? That you can go back and read. The thing still stands up. What do you get done, John?
And then everybody said, like our friend Mark Innes in Louisville said, so does he.
He wonders why to you. See, and it still stay. It stood the test of time. Like, stop. Look, I know you want it, and that's great. You love Larry. You guys had conversations.
You made SMU fans upset, though. You said they said Memphis is a diploma mill. You might as well drive through. SMU could buy Memphis 10 times
hey,
over.
Hey, what year was that? 2012?
2013.
Memphis was making the tournament back then.
They were.
You know what I'm saying? It was fine.
Yeah.
Compared to what it is at this point.
No, I agree. I agree in terms of being a head coach. That's a SMU random as hell. He had no connection to SMU.
Well, it took him a second to get that thing popping or whatever. At that point, he didn't have it popping.
Here's but he my did, thing. Though.
John Martin wants him. I want him too at this point, but here's the reason they should do it. It's not because the media wants him, not because we think it'd be great for people. It's because Penny Hardaway wants him.
Correct.
Like, at some point, y'all got to stand with your guy. You know what I'm saying? And I worry that, you know, he's going to – we'll see with this IARP thing and whether or not Penny Hardaway is going to be the person that's got to take the fall for that. But like I said, that he didn't make that final decision. You guys are in this together. And it starts up at the top, all the way on down, administration Rudd on down. Veach in it now, too. I mean, he's got 2 feet in now. This is his program just as much as it is anybody else's. You're the athletic director. You're the overseer of it. At some point, you got to roll with him. At some point, you got to trust him. Yep. And if he's wanted this a while and he's laid out the parameters to you of how it's going to work,
yep.
I don't see how you don't get in a meeting with him and say, you know what? I got to give it because you want it.
That's right.
You know, you've given us the excitement back.
That's right.
You've got the seats full again. People still feel good about the program, even though they're clearly in desire and rightfully so of a tournament appearance that we feel like's coming. We're gonna trust you.
Yep.
On this one, and we're gonna, you know, you're telling us in this role. Okay, let's do it.
Because here's the thing.
Like, I don't get the
why
the case against at this point.
Why, as an employer, right, of Penny Hardaway or whoever, would you want to exist to just stand in the way of things that your employee wants? Now, look, sometimes they just don't work out. But look at the situation in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers hates his employer because they stand in the way of getting him the things he wants. Now, I know you think that they've done enough. He does not think they've done enough. He thinks he was disrespected by them trading up to get not another receiver, not a weapon, but a backup quarterback with a first-round pick. He was disrespected by that. Now he wants out. And he may end up coming back, and they may end up working it out. But right now, there's no doubt he's not at minicamp. He wants no part of the Green Bay Packers. And that's because his employer stood in the way of him getting what he wanted. Now, again, I know everybody has their own sides of this, but why would you want to stand in the way of giving Penny what he wants? You just extended him. You clearly believe in him enough to give him a 5-year deal. Mm-hmm. You know, why all of a sudden would you not trust his decision making? You have to do this. And if it goes up in flames, then guess who that's on? That's on him. It's on Penny. It's not on you.
Well,
because you shouldn't meddle. You shouldn't meddle in assistant coaching hires when you're being told the stipulations are as such. You shouldn't meddle. It's a very dangerous business to get into, in my opinion,
well,
if you're an AD or a president.
Here's my thing. You know the situation he's sort of handcuffed by now because of the IARP.
Absolutely. Yep.
You know that he cannot just go out and get any assistant he wants because of the question marks surrounding Memphis. Why are they in the IARP thing, John? because you, along with him, but you ultimately made the decision to play James Wiseman and fight, fight, fight.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And now it's limiting him in terms of how he can fill that staff. So the least you could do at this point is let him fill it out the way he wants to.
Exactly.
With the caveat that, okay, he ain't going to touch this, this, this.
Right.
I mean, are you kidding me?
No doubt.
Penny's handcuffed from that standpoint now because of a decision that ultimately the administration made in terms of who you can go get. This is one of the best things you're going to be able to go get. We talked about it. With all due respect, you put Todd Day, Larry Brown, and maybe you still get Todd Day because Lord knows there's more than
there's
two openings at this point. But my point is this. You're not going to do better
right. In
terms of coaching acumen, what he can pour into Penny. And I'm talking about particularly from a challenging Penny standpoint. Penny wants to be challenged. He wants to grow. You're not going to find a better coach out there right now that's willing to put his future possibly with his IARP thing on the line than Larry Brown, who's sitting there, has the relationship with Penny. We've talked to him before, how much he respects Penny. Sort of goes back to the Knicks, their time together with the Knicks, I believe it was, telling the stories. And Lord knows the respect Penny has for him. You made the decision to play James Wiseman. It's cuffing the program right now in terms of guys you could potentially go get. So you absolutely got to do this, it seems like to me. How can you stand in the way? When, frankly, you're one of the big reasons you're in this boat right now. Penny didn't make that final decision to play Wiseman and fight, fight, fight. The school did.
Yep.
Rudd did.
Yep.
So how can you stand in the way now when you've, potentially, you've handcuffed him is a better way to put it in terms of who he can go get. Hell, this is as good as anything you can go get with the net that you've
got. It is. It is.
That's the bottom line.
I mean, it's not even, you can't even compare it to JJ. Like, it's not even, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what Memphis did last year. Memphis hired J.J., who did not have another job, was just a guy that Penny knew and trusted. This is on such a different level than that.
Like you said, he's the only one to win an NBA championship and an NCAA title.
I mean,
like the Duke can coach.
He's
and that's what he's going to be doing?
He's a legend in basketball. You know what I'm saying? And to add that to a staff in a year where you have to deliver, I mean, that's why I think, quite frankly, I think that's why Memphis, for more than a few reasons, but I think that's why Memphis would be more inclined to allow it as well. Not just because you're right that he's handcuffed as an IARP. They didn't let him do it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming off an NIT championship, so he does have a little bit of leverage that they just extended him. They know too that they have to get to the NCAA tournament next year with this roster, with what they're bringing back. They know that it's time, and I don't know how you can I don't know how you can look at the situation and think that Larry Brown, even at 80, would not help Memphis achieve that. It's one of the greatest basketball minds that's ever lived. The only coach that's ever won at the NBA championship level and the tournament championship level in college.
And he's got great respect for Penny. He's not
exactly.
trying to take his job at this point in his career. Like, what are you? We kidding ourselves?
Yep.
You got all the reasons to do it and very few not to.
I agree.
Especially when you tell me, it's in this certain role. He's not touching this.
Yep.
Which is where the issues were previously. Again, this to me is a no-brainer.
I agree.
And you do it because you trust, at this point, because you trust Penny Hardaway.
Yep. So, at any rate, we were talking about that earlier. Larry Brown's name certainly is Penny wants him. I don't think Penny ever stopped wanting him, right? I don't think Penny ever got over that, because they do have a unique relationship because Penny played for him in New York.
So
Penny respects him on that level. There are not many guys like who was his coach in Orlando? Do you remember off the top of your head?
Oh, Brian Hill, I think.
Yeah,
it
he
was.
Ain't going to bring in Brian Hill. I know that was.
Brian Hill, I think it was. Hill, I think, is the guy. That was back in. You're taking me back to my 90s days now.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to bring in old Brian Hill. So, it's a unique situation with Penny Hardaway and Larry Brown.
Who better to pour into Penny?
Nobody.
Get up in his ear.
Nobody.
Hey, man, I remember when we
And Larry Brown, he's 80. He doesn't give a damn. You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't care if Penny likes what he has to say. He's gonna give you his raw opinion. He's 80.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And Penny's been wanting that since he got the gig.
Exactly.
He's been wanting that.
Exactly.
That challenge, that guy that with that kind of institutional knowledge. He's wanted that for the entire
time. And again, the key thing there is it's coming from a guy who Penny would not view as a threat.
A threat.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Stude ain't a threat.
Yeah. So that's
he realizes where he's at, what point of his career he's at.
Hope it happens. Again, some obstacles that you would have to clear, but I think there's some political motivation to do that, given where the Memphis program is.
Give Pity what he wants at this point.
Brad, where are you Where are you? We have not heard your opinion on this. You're an old time college basketball guy. What do you think about LB?
Larry Brown as an assistant coach at Memphis.
That's right.
I don't see it being the magic bullet. But so might as well give it a try.
I think that's a fair stance, too. I think it's a totally fair stance.
Might as well give it a try. I think your point about making Penny happy, if you've doubled down on Penny, I thought that was a really good point. Well, they just did the 5-year deal?
Yes.
Okay. So, like, you made that commitment.
Clearly. Like, he's your guy.
You are my show. You're my coach. We're rolling with you.
Yep.
You got to go all in on him.
Yeah, I mean, if you had doubts about Penny, that's one thing.
Yep.
You know, if you didn't, but it's hard to have doubts about a guy you're paying $2 million a year to over the next 5 years.
Now, I actually see it as a second conversation to radio, which is you let the dude hire the coach. That doesn't mean I think he's going to be the magic bullet, like I said at the front end.
I think that's totally fair. Yeah, I mean, I think you certainly can have questions about
80
that.
80 is old as hell.
80 is old. I mean, it is true. 80 is, you know, and
Mike, most of my family that's 80 have died. I hate to say that to be grim.
Yeah, but if the 80-year-old has more to contribute than the 30 or the 40-something-year-old still, then isn't that
deceased.
Worth it to the program?
I hope so. If Penny believes that,
but Larry's
I'm
going
to go with Penny.
Larry's a sharp guy. I haven't texted him in a while. He was texting back
now, if you get Rick Pitino, I'll call it a magic bullet.
I don't give a damn if he's too tired to go to the games. I'd sit him in the practice, say we need you for 2 hours here, and then you can go be off the rest of the day. I think that's worth having.
I don't give a damn
if he's down at the game.
I liked your conversation
too
about
much for him.
People who have sired big families. I always like those
dudes. Oh, if there's a dude out there, I'd love to get that guy. But you already got him with the Lawsons, right? I mean,
you kind of already have that.
Yeah, you had that. Yeah.
Yeah. So
talent will not be the issue this year.
I think you guys are on it though. You hire him.
You get him. You get in the contract. You get warm cookies and milk. You know what I'm saying?
Don't give him too much cookies.
It is hard not to tie this conversation
Keep the
into
cookies and milk away.
This conversation to me is hard not to tie into the why did you let Penny or why did y'all decide to play James Wiseman conversation.
Yeah,
I think they're connected. Connected in a way, you know, because it's that whole relationship with the athletic department and the marriage that you partook in when you decided to all collectively make that
decision. Absolutely. It's a convoluted situation. Yeah.
Yeah.
It absolutely is. But, you know, that's where it is right now for Memphis basketball. Going to be a busy offseason as usual for the Tigers. And we shall see just exactly where it leads.
We're going to have a weekend at Bernie's coach comes in.
Now
we
got to catch up with Larry. I remember our conversations with him though back in the day. He was very sharp. He was a very sharp guy still, and clearly I don't think Penny would be hiring somebody who's wearing diapers. You know what I'm saying? I think Penny would have a pretty good clear understanding that Larry still pretty sharp. Anyway, that's the latest with Memphis basketball. We'll come back. Jessica Benson going to join us at 125, get her thoughts on the Grizzlies season as it wrapped up, and more on the other side. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
This is Memphis' sports station with a legacy of sports in the Mid-South. The flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies and Tigers talk. 92.9 FM, ESPN. And Odyssey Station.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jessica Benson is going to join us here in just a moment up at ESPN.com. Two things. One, I saw that AJ Brown tweeted,
He tried to give Julio Jones his number. A.J. Brown's currently 11 for the Tennessee Titans. Julio Jones was a number 11 for the Atlanta Falcons for all those years.
And a future Hall of Famer.
Future Hall of Famer. Because of the stuff that he has done already, not because of the stuff that he will do next year.
Hell, he might win a Super Bowl.
With the Titans. Oh, my God.
Oh, my Lord.
Quit hating is the point.
Nah,
what,
bro.
Because of what he's done.
Nah, bro.
He ain't coming to be the one, John.
No, he's not. And the Titans are not going to the Super Bowl. So enough with this. They're closer.
Man, we heard you. Mahomes going to win the next five. That sounds realistic.
Maybe Mahomes or Tom Brady. Either way, I think the Chiefs are certainly going to get there for the next 5 years. That is absolutely stone cold. As long as Mahomes is healthy, stone cold fact.
Okay, get the story.
But A.J. Brown said, Julio Jones said no. He did not want the number. He said keep it.
Well, that solidifies it for me. They're going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, they got good team chemistry.
I mean, come on. That locker room is together already.
That's true. That helps.
I heard, who was it this morning? Hasselbeck. And the one that was the lesser player that's on Get Up.
Tim.
Yes, Tim. He said, well, what about Julio? He's always gotten 10 targets a game. What's he going to do sometimes when he's just targeted three times or has just one catch because A.J. Brown's getting all the catches? Man, he ain't going to do nothing but fall in line. Like, if it's going, I imagine he's going to welcome this opportunity. How many games did he play last year? Eight? Number one.
Yeah, seven or eight.
All right. That's number one. So just being out there will be that's the key. But you don't want to overuse Julio at this point. If it's five targets, and I got a feeling he's fine with it because at this point, clearly he's got a great respect for AJ, saying, no, you keep that number 11. He knows what he's coming to be. He knows this ain't Atlanta, right, where he's been the one and double covered, triple covered sometimes all of his life, really before Ridley got there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess when he had Roddy, too, at one point, right?
Roddy White.
Yeah, I mean, at
one or 2 years.
That's drawn you off a couple double teams every once in a while. But here's the point. He knows he's not coming to be the one or the man or thinking, okay, this better be 10 targets for me, mm-hmm. like A.J. Brown in one of the best-looking up-and-coming young receivers. He knows what he's getting into. Frankly, he knows he's on a championship-level offense, potentially. And I think it just has to hit the field, and all of a sudden you see how much potential there really is. But, like, He ain't coming to be old Julio in Atlanta. He's coming to be a number two, basically, next to a young stud in A.J. Brown. He gets that. So if it's five targets one game instead of the 10 that he's averaged for his career, he's going to understand that. The man's 32 years old, only played eight games last season.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, you don't want him. You don't want to be targeting Julio 10 times a game. If you're doing that, you're looking awfully one-dimensional.
Right.
You shouldn't have to do that. Atlanta had to. They've always had to on offense. Tennessee won't have to. Why? Because they got a king in the backfield. They got a top five looking like receiver over there on the other side, and A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Like, uh-uh. Like, that is not going to be an issue. Oh, all of a sudden he starts disrupting the locker room because he only got seven. He only got six or seven targets, three catches instead of 10.
By the way, I did do the research, full-ass research. Julio was the name of a friend of his mom's who had passed away about the time of Julio Jones' birth, and that friend told his mom, "Give him a part of my name," and that's how he started going by Julio. But Quintoris actually means gladiator.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know that.
I don't know. I don't know what the derivation is, but it apparently means gladiator.
So what's the number? Is he going to go by? What did he wear? Eight in Alabama?
That makes sense to me. I mean, does anybody wear eight for the Titans? Probably not.
We're not somebody good enough to keep it.
Yeah,
at this point, he's already let AJ keep 11.
You can do single digits now in the NFL as a skill position guy.
Man, I can't. I don't know about you.
I know. It's
and
tough.
And I'm a Bears fan, but I cannot wait to see that offense.
Oh, wow.
I can't wait to see that offense.
I thought you were going to say something about the numbers changing.
No,
it's hard for me to keep up with all the running backs wearing single digits. You know,
no, so. Man, I cannot wait to see that Tennessee offense, man. They are going to be something to contend with.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they'll be fun. I mean, look, they're an awesome
question
offense.
Mark's not around that. Exactly. It's around that defense and what Bud Dupree can do in terms of lifting.
I mean,
it up
you
there's no way they're worse than they
you
were
protected
last
yourself certainly against a drop off because I think you were at risk of that because you lose
Smith,
Janu Smith
and Corey.
And,
if you put them together, yes, you can say you lost some weapons.
But now you've got Julio, AJ Brown, Josh Reynolds is a great number three. Had a career year last year, and you still have Derrick Henry, and so yes, you have.
How are you going to prepare for that? You can't just prepare. Just put eight in the box.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have to do
even the, even when it was Corey Davis on the other side of AJ, you could still say, okay, let's make them beat us.
Correct.
Right? Well, you know Tannehill can beat you with AJ and Julio Jones. Are we kidding ourselves?
Yep.
Man, Derrick gonna have some easier days. Key for them, whoever their second string running back is, would have much work the regular season for me.
Yep.
Because it would be all about preserving particularly those four guys. Henry, Tannehill, Julio, and A.J. Brown. Preserving them through a set now 17-game regular season and having them in the playoffs. Man, my seconds, Reynolds, in the regular season, boy, I'd be going to him. Yep. Be going to my second string running back, change of pace running back quite a bit. Just so I could guarantee as much as I could that I've got those guys when it matters. Because they can almost just back into the – they're going to be in the playoffs. Won't matter. As long as – that's when it matters. Having those guys healthy is the key.
Very true. Anyway, real quick before we get to Jessica Benson, I saw some offseason rankings that our man Bill Barnwell did up at ESPN.com. And the number one team in the NFL, according to Bill Barnwell, who had the best offseason? Any idea?
Oh, it's easy because they brought everybody back.
You're correct. It's Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it was 22 of 22
Tampa
spots.
Bay brought back everybody.
All right.
One more run at it. Number 32. Any guesses?
Just as long as it ain't me, it's probably you. Raider man. Raider man. Is it the Raiders?
It's the Raider man.
No way.
Now, I think this is wrong.
Oh, my God.
I take issue with this.
What did y'all go out and do? You went out and signed like six running backs.
A tackle or a lineman?
I don't think we had the worst offseason in the NFL. The worst offseason in the NFL is being had right now by the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers are 32. You want to say the Raiders are number 31?
Let him leave first before you say it's the worst.
Fine.
They still got a lot of leverage.
But he said, this is what Bill Barnwell wrote about the Raiders. While contracts for Yannick Ngakoue and John Brown were relative bargains, the Raiders inexplicably handed Kenyon Drake 2 years and $11 million.
Serves
as a second running back alongside Josh Jacobs. They also dismantled one of the league's most impressive offensive lines. Team used a first-round pick on Alex Leatherwood, but just about every public source regarded him as an overdraft. Teams have more insight into prospects than we do, but given the Raiders' recent track record with draft picks, they don't deserve any benefit of the doubt. I think we had a crappy offseason. I think we're awful. I mean, I really do. Like, and what sucks is that we're too good to be terrible. Does that make sense? We're going to win 7-8 games because we have Derek Carr and Josh Jacobs and other pieces like that. But we're not going to contend for a playoff spot, and we're not going to be bad enough to where we can actually get an impact player in the draft unless we draft well, which we cannot do. You know, so
how do you think the Rams are 27th after going and getting Stafford?
I don't know. Maybe we should have Bill Barnwell on the show to defend himself.
He clearly doesn't think that's a huge upgrade.
Now, he has the Titans at 18th, but he does say that he did the bottom half of the NFL last week. So this would be before the Julio Jones deal. Julio Jones would, I think, certainly take the Titans inside the top 10, maybe even the top 5. Maybe we can have Bill Barnwell on the show this week to talk about it.
A front four with Harold Landry and Jeffrey Simmons, who I was telling you about, might actually be able to go after the passer.
Yeah.
When you add that to Bud Dupree and those guys.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back. Jessica Benson is going to join us on the other side, talk to her about the Memphis Grizzlies season and more. Jason DeJohn, Turner FM, ESPN.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jessica Benson. You know where you love her. Rise and grind. Grizz Radio Network. Proud alum of USC. She'll get to watch Boogie Ellis play next season.
Ooh.
With the Trojans. Let's do this.
Now, it's Jessica Benson from the Grizzlies Radio Network and Rise and Grind host on 92.9 FM ESPN's Jason and John Show.
I mean, have you thought about that? That you are one of one in terms of people who have gotten to root for Boogie Ellis in two different places.
Wow, how did I get so lucky? I also get former Memphis wide receiver Taj Washington on the
phone. How about that?
So look at us go.
Why is your program poaching?
Are you
players?
Doing this?
This is some secret recruiting stuff going on. So
good players.
Don't give it up. Great players. Look forward to seeing them throw up the fight on, wear the cardinal and gold. It's gonna be okay.
But it doesn't. I mean, we've had this conversation with you before. Like USC basketball actually is, you know, especially with the Mobley brothers. I mean, they were really good last year. But football, like. I mean, there's still a prestige with that uniform, but, I mean, it just doesn't mean what it used to.
It just doesn't hit as hard.
There was a time where it was like USC was – it was like USC and Oklahoma and Texas. You know, the game changes, right?
Yeah, we're still riding the Clay Helton train, and hopefully it finally finds its right tracks as we try to make it back to some level of – national relevance. It's been tough. I will say, I mean, honestly, when I think back of like legitimately enjoyable USC football experiences from the last 5 years, all I've got is that 2017 Rose Bowl, and I hold on to it very, very tightly. And that's, I will still cheer for Sam Darnold for that reason, because he gave me my last taste of joy as a USC football fan.
Well, the good news is that here in Memphis, you have a lot more reasons for joy here locally, because the Grizzlies.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, they made a great run. They took a game off the Jazz. So now that we've had a week or so to decompress and sort of make sense of everything, how do you look back and what do you make of this season in Grizz lore?
I think there's just so much optimism surrounding the Memphis Grizzlies and the future of this team. And we talked about it last week when it felt very much like we were trending in this direction, that the season was coming to an end, and saying, you know, should we just be joyful for having been in the playoffs? And I say, absolutely. You got one game. You did it against a Utah Jazz team that's the number one seed in the West, one of the hardest places to play in the NBA this season out there in Salt Lake City. And that experience will just carry over tenfold. And more than anything, to see the continuing ascent of Ja Morant as one of the faces in the NBA, it brings me so much joy to watch. There's an NBA commercial that plays, and it keeps playing during the playoffs. And the first face you see in that commercial of all the NBA players is Ja Morant. Mm-hmm. And that's incredible. Like, he's in year two, and we're already at that level of notoriety as people continue to grow in their respect of his game. And he'll continue growing too. You know, he knows what he needs to work on in this offseason going into year three. So it's just kind of this excitement brewing of, okay, this year was great. It was a bit of gravy. We didn't necessarily expect it. Now where do we go from here? And it seems like we're heading in a direction where it should be some good times in terms of Memphis basketball.
It sounds like you think, Jessica, and I think I'm with Zach Kleiman on this. I wonder if you are too, that, you know, he said Ja Morant's a massively clear-cut all-star next year. Said that in the end-of-year media session. Do you believe him? I'm with you. In terms of the notoriety that Ja's built, it's going to be hard to keep him out next year, isn't it? Even in the West.
Massively clear-cut. That was some
about
very
that?
Specific yeah. wording there. Yeah, no, I mean, I think both in terms of his game and also just his level of being one of the young faces of the league, like, mm-hmm. you want him in the All-Star game because you want a face like that to be able to continue to ride this trajectory of, you know, having the game in good hands. We talk so much right now about, you know, Trae Young, Luka Doncic, Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, all of those guys carrying the game to kind of its own next gen. We talk constantly about next gen Grizzlies. Well, we're also looking at the next gen of the NBA period. So there's a lot of fun there. I think, you know, we know what Ja needs to work on. He needs to continue to develop his 3-point shot, and he needs to get better defensively. And I'm confident that Ja Morant goes into this offseason with a chip on his shoulder, because I just believe the chip doesn't leave Ja's shoulder. It's always there. So he's going to work on those things. He'll come back, and I look forward to seeing him be a massively clear-cut all-star next season.
You know, obviously the Grizzlies are an aggressive front office when they want to be. We've seen them go out and make deals, certainly getting Jonas and you know, the assets that they've, you know, piled up here in terms of first-round picks. What's the upshot, you think, in terms of what people can hope for next season? Is it really pinned on a full offseason for Jaren Jackson Jr.? Do you think there's some, you know, big swing out there the Grizzlies are waiting to make? Like, what do you think in terms of what fans should hope for next year? What's the upshot?
Well, I know Grizzlies fans are hot on the trade machine, so they love to try to figure out any one of those big swings, because that's fun to just try to think about and, you know, to think if a big star could come and be that next piece here in Memphis. But I do think there needs to be a certain level of, you know, just chill. We listened to Zach Kleiman give his exit interviews, and it's not like there was a whole lot to take from it other than the optimism that's within this front office, within this team right now. And I think so much of it rides on Jaren Jackson Jr., and the language used consistently around this team is Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. Those are your two cornerstone pieces. And you didn't get a full picture of Jaren Jackson Jr. with this team. So I think you really have to go into next season and hope that Jaren stays healthy, has a full offseason, not just to focus on getting healthy, but to work on his game and put him back out on that court and see what happens.
If you let's set aside Ja's three-point shooting, because I'm with you, and I think it's a good thing that he's sick of hearing about it, and I think that means chip on the shoulder. He goes in the offseason, looks to improve it. I'm with you. Set that aside. If you could gift one NBA skill – this offseason to one Grizzlies player that could raise the ceiling up higher when you give it to him, what would it be and who would you give it to? Setting aside Ja's three-point shooting, because Lord knows we've spent enough time on that.
Ooh, that is a hard question. I think if you could continue to carry on with the offensive firepower that Dylan Brooks continued to bring in the playoffs. We know what he brings defensively, but if you could make Dylan Brooks a legit offensive threat, then that solves a lot of the problems that you're ultimately looking for when you're trying to fill those roles. So yes, you have Ja, you have Jared. Who's that number three? If Dylan Brooks is a consistent playmaker, three-point shooter, getting it done on the offensive end of the court, that solves a lot of issues right there.
I like that. I might have Jaren and rebound a little higher, but I like the Dylan, especially if he can be more efficient or just consistently efficient. To you, most attractive finals matchup at this point, now that we're on to round two, what do you want to see? What would Jessica Benson like to see in terms of best finals?
I'm not sure we're going to get a best final, because I think the Brooklyn Nets are just unstoppable right now. I guess I will see a Nets-Jazz finals, but like, who guards KD? I don't have the answer for that. And I think that right now the Nets are proving that, you know, despite not having James Harden, they didn't need the full scary hours to just be a really scary team this year in the NBA. And so many of us in the media spent so much time discussing, oh, can they make up for it defensively? And can this really work? I think we overthought it. Yeah, you have two of the best players in the game on the court right now together, and it's working really well.
This is very welcome news for Jason, who has a futures bet on the Nets, and I can tell he's already counting his money.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I love her vote there.
And he's counting his money, because he bought me two, not one, but two Diet Dr. Peppers this morning before work.
That's
very
right.
Nice of him.
But splurging.
But he's counting his money, clearly, and he's probably
Thank
right
you for
to
that,
do
Jessica.
So. He is probably right to do so. We're talking to Jessica Benson. She joins us every single Tuesday here on the show, Catch on Rise and Grind Grizz Radio Network. You're like our producer. You have many allegiances. You have many different teams that you you pull for. How many are there? How many are there?
The limit does not exist. I'm always welcoming new teams into my fold. But I did get called out, because my co-host on Rise and Grind, Megan Triplett, she's a legit Tennessee Titans fan, and I've tried to edge my way into this Team Tennessee side of things, and she's like, no, you can only have, I'm like a pseudo Bills fan, and I grew up in Denver, so I'm a Broncos fan, and sometimes I root for the Seahawks, and I live with a Niners fan, so none of it works, period. But I am not allowed to jump on the Titans bandwagon, despite being very excited that Julio Jones will have an opportunity to play here in Tennessee next year.
So in that spirit, what has been for your 500-600 different teams, what has been your favorite, like, and most satisfying run? Like, what team was it? What did they do? What was the best one for Jessica Benson?
Oh, the best of all time was the Boise State Fiesta Bowl win over Oklahoma, because that was back when I was a big Wacker bus. My dad was the commissioner of the Western Athletic Conference. I rode the mid-major wave my whole life, and it finally paid off in that moment when Boise State beats Oklahoma. Nobody predicted it. I got to go back and rub it in a bunch of people's faces back in high school. And that was just the pinnacle of my sports fandom. But not to go back to that USC Rose Bowl, but in terms of like my teams I'm super connected with, that would be it too. We've had a lot of great runs with the Denver Broncos and got to experience, you know, the most recent Super Bowls. The Super Bowls when I was a kid back with John Elway were fun too. So I've had some good moments. I've had some good ones.
But, you know, being the daughter of a, you know, a college commissioner, like, do you remember really having a choice in terms of sports, or was it just something that you were exposed to at such an early age? And, you know, your dad, I mean, that was his life. And so that's just kind of what you did as well. I mean, what do you sort of remember in terms of your first exposure to sports?
Oh yeah. I was just everything we did was sports. My first exposure to sports was as a baby, I threw up on the Fresno State athletic director at a basketball game. Like, from the time I was little, I was really leaving my print on the game. But our vacations were tied to sports. Our summer vacations were tied to meetings that were about sports. So I always had a choice. Like, I'm really into musical theater too, which some people know, some people don't. So I always kind of split my time between the sports side of things and then loving a good Broadway musical here and there, which is a weird combo to have in this world. But my grandpa on my mom's side, my mom's dad was also, he was a scout for the Buffalo Bills. And so I had the football and the NFL ties there. So anytime, you know, you have Thanksgiving, it's all about where are we watching the game. It was just sports from early on until now.
Does the Julio trade push, would you say they're on equal ground with your beloved Bills? Is it still 1-2 KC, Buffalo, then Tennessee, Cleveland, those teams to figure it out? So how high do you push up Tennessee after this Julio trade?
Yeah, I think if Julio can be Julio Jones and be 100% healthy going into this Tennessee offense, I think they're right there with Kansas City as the biggest challenge to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. And that pains me to say, but that offense, you know, I know a lot of people crack their jokes on Ryan Tannehill and what he's going to do with all of these weapons, but I think he rises to the challenge. And I think having, you know, two legitimate deep threats in Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, that's just going to be a fun team to watch. I'm going to wish that I was a Titans fan next season, and it's going to be very hard for me not to, like, edge my way into that Team Tennessee territory.
And then last thing, because it is a question that I think a lot of our listeners are wondering – are you and Chris at this point? Is it common law marriage? I mean, we got to be inching closer to it.
Our date is August 6th, 2022.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we are in the process of, we're back on full wedding planning
Good.
Mode.
Good.
So we really took, thank you. It's time. And so we just locked down a DJ.
Wow.
That was our most recent. We interviewed DJs, which is a very weird process
Wow.
to go through.
Wow.
Yeah, that's where we're at. So, yeah, we do have a date. We have a venue, and we are well on our way to actually getting married in 2022.
No kind of Bridezilla stuff, right? I watched that show because of my wife. And we're not talking that with you, are we, Jessica?
No, I'm
is
like
more
the
Zilla?
Anti-bride. But I do have 12 bridesmaids, which is one of the craziest things about this wedding. Yeah, it's aggressive.
Are you going to have 5,000 people at this wedding?
No, we're trying to keep it under 150, but you already have 12 bridesmaids. That's a big number. And each of them have to get a plus one. That's 24.
And what I mean, groomsmen, right? I mean, you got to have enough groomsmen to walk them down.
Taylor Jenkins play all of them.
Chris has six.
What about the other six? They just walk down alone?
Well, I have one of my bridesmaids is a man, so I can pair one of those up. We're still figuring out the logistics of it, but we'll have, like, you know, the dude will be in the middle, and you can have two girls, and you can walk down, and we'll figure it out.
What do you call a bridesmaid that is a man? A bridesman?
I just call him my bride's dude, okay. Or my bride Connor.
I actually, I've seen this before. It's becoming more popular. I just don't know what the correct term is. So bride's dude. Okay, we will roll. Well, we're excited to certainly hear that it is happening August 2022. We will count down
Thank
the
you.
Days.
Congrats,
Jessica. Thank you so much for the time, as always.
I appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
Yep. She is Jessica Benson. Catch her on Rise and Grind. And, of course, right here on 92.9 FM, ESPN, pre and post. Yeah, it's, you know, it's.
Penny, like, did you say 12?
That's right.
You know, I like my teams deep.
That's a hell of a rotation right there.
It is.
I mean.
12, bro? 10. How many did your wife have any? Well, y'all had
a small.
Yeah,
we went to Mexico.
Yeah.
She had, like, her sister, so that's.
Right.
Four, I think she had four. Four or five, maybe.
We are truly out of the pandemic.
But it was not going to be, no, there was no way she was going to have 12. Because you got to think, just if you're going to have 12 bridesmaids, there's no way you're staying under 150. You know, I mean, my goodness. Anyway, thanks to Jessica Benson for joining
money.
Us on the show today. We'll come back, wrap this thing up. Jason and John, how do you turn to FM, ESPN?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Tuesday's just a fancy way of saying Monday. Sometimes it's time for a drink. And if it is for you, let me recommend the drink that is smoother than smooth and bolder than the blues. That's Blue Note Juke Joint. Always good. Always delicious. Always available in the city of Memphis. It's crafted right here in Memphis. It's one of my favorite things about it. It's a Memphis drink. I always like to support local, and that's what you can do every time you buy a bottle of Blue Note Juke Joint. Just $29.99 wherever your favorite liquor store is sold. And like I said, it's available all throughout Memphis and the Mid-South. Find it at your favorite liquor store. Drink it neat. Drink it on the rocks. Make a cocktail with it. All kinds of recipes up at BlueNoteBourbon.com. What are you waiting for? Pick yourself up a bottle of Blue Note Juke Joint today. Talked about Larry Brown today. Also saw some news in the world of college football that I'm sure we've had this argument about. We've argued about every possible thing on planet Earth in our 4 or 5 years of doing this show, so I'm assuming we have argued about the playoff before. But Pete Thamel is reporting that there is a possibility that the playoff could go to a 12-team model.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that would certainly have a spot set aside for the group of five.
Right.
And it would give Memphis a path. It would give a school like Memphis a path to a championship, however unlikely, right? Because you still have to beat Alabama, and you still have to beat Clemson, and you still have to beat Ohio State. But you would have a chance, whereas right now you have no access. You can't even get in.
Mm-hmm. The idea that even then, if you added it, that it's still a level, that it's a level playing field with what's about to come with name, image, and likeness, I just can't see it ever really being level. Like, a group of five team gets in, you're going to have what Alabama's got or Clemson's got or whoever it's going to be. Let's be real, it's not going to be close because what they already offer, they're about to add to when you talk about what these players are going to be able to make from name, image, likeness. And how are you not going to have some sponsor down in Alabama, right, willing to pay more than what they're willing to pay for a Memphis football recruit to
That's true.
Name, image.
I mean, that's not going to change.
To me, it just gets even more uneven. Sure, you tell yourself, okay, this is like NCAA tournament now. We can put a Cinderella in. I'm using Cinderella in the sense that whatever your best chance is from a group of five, but it really ain't going to come anywhere close. And the idea that, that team will go out and beat Notre Dame, I just think it's going to get more and more uneven as we get. And I'm not telling you those players don't deserve that money. The system is broken, needs to be fixed, but it's just, you know, go to 12. That team really won't have a chance in future years because this thing's going to get even more out of whack.
But as Winston Churchill once said, perfection is the enemy of progress.
You got to break off at some point, bro, and be happy with it.
I don't want that smoke. I don't want that smoke
You're
at all.
You're taking your chances against the big dogs then.
That's going to do it for us today. Thanks, of course, to Jessica Benson for joining us on the show today. Thanks to Desmond Bain for joining us on the show today. Certainly check the podcast if you missed that. Gianna and Jeffrey, they're up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.